Mouth.
Word of
mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson in for Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, Self-Help Nation, how the art of personal improvement became a literary genre and then an American pastime. And real-life lessons on giving. Students in a philanthropy course dole out thousands to area nonprofits. And need some new music? We'll look ahead to some of the year's most anticipated albums. But we begin with Cyber City, today's miniature training grounds for tomorrow's cyber warriors. It used to be that defending against cyber attacks meant using antivirus software on your PC or changing the password on your online bank account. But these days, cybersecurity means physical as well as virtual space. Critical infrastructure like power plants, train stations, and the electric grid all rely in part on online systems. So future cyber attacks could have disastrous consequences in the tangible world. To help bridge the gap between digital and physical space, U.S. hackers are training to defend infrastructure through digital scenarios executed inside a real-life model village called Cyber City. And yes, it does sound a little like a mix between The Matrix and SimCity. The project is funded by the SANS Institute, a security training company that works with the U.S. government. Here to explain more is SANS instructor and NetWar's Cyber City director, Ed Skotis. Ed, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello, Brady. Thank you.
It's called Cyber City, but there is a physical component here, too. What in Cyber City is real, and then what exists only online? What does it look like?
Sure. Well, Cyber City is 6 feet by 8 feet in size, and it's broken up into separate quadrants, each with various buildings. We're using miniaturized buildings there. So we've got one quadrant that's focused on commercial stuff, and it's got a hospital, it's got a bank, it's got a little coffee house. There's a 3-inch by 4-inch coffee shop in there. We've got another one that's residential. That's another quadrant where we have some houses and a school. There's another one that is industrial, where we have a power company and a chemical factory, and we have a real power grid inside of Cyber City that lights it all up. And then the fourth quadrant is military, which has a landing strip, it's got a air traffic control tower, and it has a missile launcher. So those are the different quadrants and the different pieces of what's in the quadrant, but this is all powered by computer equipment, just like the real world is.
And living in this Cyber City, you have virtual people, too?
We do. We have 15,000 residents of Cyber City, and the residents themselves are actually not little physical people. We don't have tiny little characters in there. Instead, it's data that's made up inside of databases. So, for example, some of the characters in Cyber City have bank records, so that if a bad guy attacks the bank, he could steal their money. Or some of them have hospital records. We also have a social networking site inside of Cyber City. We call it FaceSpace because it's sort of a mashup of Facebook and MySpace functionality. And some of the denizens of Cyber City have records inside of FaceSpace. There's an ISP inside of Cyber City so that people can connect to the Internet. And sometimes people have a little trouble with their Internet connection, so they have a trouble ticket that they've reported to the ISP. So it's record. That's what makes up the 15,000 people inside of Cyber City.
Now, how does having the physical city, the model with each of these quadrants, and then also those citizens represented through the data, how does that change this kind of training so that you can try and deal with the aftermath of a cyber attack?
Ah, that's the big deal. See, we had built before this something we called NetWars, and NetWars was very computer-centric, as you might expect. It was an attack and defend environment for cyber warriors, so they could see how computers get hacked and how responses are supposed to be implemented. And we've been doing that for the last 2.5 years, and it's been fine. The military's been very happy, and various commercial companies we're working with. But 2 years ago, we were charged by some folks in the military. They put this down before us. They said, what we really need to do is to show our cyber warriors that cyber action, that is computer stuff, has real-world impact, that it has kinetic effects, is how the military people refer to it. And they said, figure out a way to do that. And, you know, it might seem obvious in retrospect, but we thought about it for about 3 months and came up with this idea of building a city so that we could really instill lessons in cyber warriors. When you do this on the computer, stuff happens in the real world. Things move or things break or bad guys can do some seriously bad things that could hurt people or even kill people. We want to train our warriors to be able to stop that from happening.
Now, what kinds of scenarios have you envisioned so far, those kinetic effects?
Sure. Well, we have a whole bunch. We have 18 different missions, and they are each formulated as a mission where the cyber warrior is given a briefing to kind of get him up to speed on what he or she needs to achieve, and then they go into the computer systems that are associated with the city, and they make it happen. So some of the missions we have right now are the bad guys, terrorists, have hacked into the power company, and they've shut off the light. Now, normally, the power company employees would turn the lights back on. Ah, but not in this scenario. In this scenario, the terrorists have reconfigured the power company computers so that the utility companies can't get access to them. So instead, the cyber warriors have to hack in to the terrorist-controlled utility company and turn the lights back on. Or another scenario we have, some bad guys have commandeered a train, and they've got a radiological weapon on the train, and they're driving it into the residential quadrant of the city to detonate it. Your job is to shut the train down or perhaps even derail the train to prevent the disaster from happening. So, and the neat part about all this is that there's great visualization. We have 5 cameras within Cyber City so that the cyber warriors can see what's happening, the direct impact of their actions as well as the bad guys' actions. That allows us to fulfill that charge that they asked us to do, to say we want the warriors to understand and see it happening.
Now, as you're describing this, what's striking me is that these virtual defenders that you're training, they're not necessarily able to stop the attack from happening, that atomic train carrying the radiological material. They're sort of more like a virtual equivalent of first responders. The attack is underway. They're there to hit the ground and try to minimize the damage and get things back to normal as quickly as possible.
You're exactly right. So some of our missions are based on stopping bad things from happening, whereas others are something bad has occurred, help fix it, contain the damage, make things better, restore operations. So some of them are really handling incidents on a citywide scale, admittedly a miniature city, but still a citywide scale.
What this also reminds me of is when I was in college, I played the game SimCity 2000, where you could build up a city, make it huge, have millions of citizens, and then you could unleash disasters and then also clean them up. So there's got to be at least kind of a fun component to devising these missions and then carrying them out, as serious as the stakes actually are in real life, though.
It is, and it gets you into sort of these two separate mindsets. I mean, what we're doing is tremendously fun, and it's exciting. The rocket launcher, we have a mission associated with that, where terrorists have commandeered the rocket launcher, and they're aiming it at the bank, and they're going to shoot it. And the cyber warrior has to stop that from happening. So my team spent much of last week playing around with the rocket launcher. In fact, they were trying to shoot it. They claim at my desk, but I'm convinced they were trying to shoot it at me. It's just a little Nerf-powered rocket launcher. And that's fun, and that's exciting, and it's cute. But then if you start thinking about the sort of what's happening underneath the scenes here and what we're really trying to represent, it does get a little bit scary. And one of the things that's kind of surprised me is we come up with these sample missions. We devise them based on interactions with our various customers. And for example, the utility company one, when we first put that together about, you know, a terrorist-caused blackout and then you can't turn the lights back on, so you have to hack into the computers to turn the lights on, we thought that was a contrived scenario when we first wrote it. Back in November, I was presenting in front of a bunch of utility company people, and I said, well, it's going to sound contrived when I go through this scenario, but just hear me out. When I finished that, one of the guys who is a utility company employee, an engineer that keeps their network running, he says, Ed, that's not contrived. That's our worst-case scenario right there. That's very realistic, and we need to make sure we train people to be able to deal with that kind of event.
Well, Ed, thanks for filling us in a little bit on Cyber City and all the training missions that go along with it.
Thank you.
Ed Skotos is an instructor with the SANS Institute, a security training company working with the U.S. government, and director of NetWar's Cyber City. You can read more about the city and the incredible missions that they're trying to carry out on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Who knows, maybe you'll come up with an idea for a screenplay. Coming up, a preview of some of the most anticipated albums of 2013 when Word of Mouth continues after a break.